What's that about Nancy DeLolio?
Oh, yeah.
What's her name? Nancy what?
Nancy DeLolio.
I don't think anyone to actually say that.
Yeah.
Isn't she like a quite a respected person?
She's a lawyer.
Lawyer.
That's yeah.
They're over now, aren't they, her and Sven, yeah. apparently.
Oh, what really
they're so like last yeah. year.
Oh my God!
What really, really irritated me about that whole thing was how Ulrika Johnson was always having digs at her from her column in the
news. She was trying to interfere, wasn't she, eh?
She's trying to break them up.
What did she ever do to you?
Yeah, fuck off, you saggy titted bitch.
Fuck off, Johnson. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 16 of the Football Ramble. We're back in 2008. Happy New Year. Anybody want to join in?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to all our listeners.
Happy New Year.
I'm very nervous about talking to you. Yeah. Introduce me.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't feel safe.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Luke Moore is in the studio.
All right.
James is here.
Hello.
And Chrissy Apples.
Hello.
Forgetting someone, yeah?
Oh, sorry. And, of course, Rio is here as well.
What's happening?
Let's have a New Year's question.
How is this going to differ from a New Year's question?
Yeah! Very true. Luke. I would start with Luke, but I'll open the floor. Who is your favourite Belgian footballer of all time?
Enzo Schifo.
Yes!
Without a doubt.
That's it.
Without a doubt.
That's the goal ticket.
Legendary 90 midfielder.
Yeah. I'm glad you said him. Mm. Straight off the bat as well.
Absolutely. Pinger of a left peg on him.
Yeah.
As well.
Do you know what, right? I was asking some of my mates, I thought to myself, I'll ask about Belgian footballers. None of I don't know any Belgian footballers. I'm glad you came out.
Early 90s had a great side. Mark de Creeser, that De Wolf in goal, Enzo Schifo, you know, the Impenza brothers shortly after that.
Mm. Yeah. Well, what about James?
I can't think of a Belgian footballer that he hasn't mentioned.
You can.
And.
You went to
say. No, I can't.
Chris.
Actually can't.
Didn't I think Jean-Claude Van Damme once played for our side or something?
Did he?
I don't know.
Actually, there is a Belgian player that plays for Anderlecht called Van Damme, and I'm just going to go for him.
You know, you're forgetting Philippe Albert.
Bosman.
Bosman.
Yeah,
he stamped his mark on the football world, didn't he?
Yeah.
There you are, you see.
What made you think of Belgian football, isn't he?
I was having a bit of Belgian chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
I can't remember now.
Austrian footballer was Hans Krankl.
There was an amazing Austrian footballer who was killed in mysterious circumstances. He was found dead in his hotel room. It was back in like the 50s or something.
Do you remember Tony Polster?
Yeah, great mullet. Great mullet.
That's what he did, yeah.
Super curly mullet. Like a Rudy Voller mullet. Yeah.
Yeah,
he was a free scoring striker, he was.
A free scoring?
Well, that's a bit strong, probably.
He wasn't restricted.
He wasn't restricted.
FA Cup has just been, you know, let's stay with the current stuff. Hmm. Luton, did you see what their manager said? Who's the manager?
It's Kevin Blackwell.
Kevin Blackwell, yeah.
Kevin Blackwell. Did you see Kevin Blackwell, Luton manager? He's basically made a bigger plea to the buyers. He said, surely after that one all draw, we're much more attractive now.
Yeah.
We just drew with Liverpool.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
You know.
Doesn't Luton routinely get sort of baracked by its own residents for being like one of the worst places on earth that you could ever live?
Barracked.
I don't know.
Barack Obama.
They get Michael Ballack.
I really enjoyed the FA Cup this weekend.
It was good, wasn't it?
It was good.
Sunday was a brilliant football day for football. You know, we watched.
We watched that together. That's
Arsenal,
the first.
Arsenal Burnley. Then we watched Liverpool Luton. And then when I got home, I watched Newcastle Stoke.
Liverpool Luton was the first match that we watched together. Eh?
The Newcastle game is probably the most confusing one out of that because Sam Allardyce seems delighted that they managed to get a 0-0 draw. What?
Yeah, he was saying, "Oh, we did really well. We bossed the game."
I got an email about that actually. It ties in quite nicely from a Geordie fan.
A bit early for emails, but
it fits in. So. If the cap fits. He's asking about us what we think about that because Allardyce said, I thought we controlled the game. I'm a little disappointed over 90 minutes, but it's a very, very good draw. Yeah. Which seems like a strange thing to say because.
It is, yeah.
If you controlled the game and, you know.
Playing a team who's a division below you.
Yeah, you would expect to win, surely. But I did control the game. I thought Stoke played brilliant.
I thought Stoke did alright. Yeah. Stoke were very unlucky with the shot cleared off the line.
There's a spell of about 20 minutes in the second half where they absolutely dominated them. Dominated them. But you wouldn't be able to tell the Premiership side was. I'll tell you what, I'm going on record as saying, I'll stick my neck out and say that I don't think we'll see a Newcastle side perform again under Sam Allardyce.
Well, Ashley's already...
You don't think they'll play well again under Allardyce?
No.
Wow.
Allardyce
said yesterday, or was it today, that he said, I've got to remind everybody that this is not a 6-month job, this is a 3 to 5 year job. Now that, years and years ago you could have 3 to 5 years, but in this day and age to ask for 3 to 5 years is a massive ask, you have to say.
I understand what you're saying actually, but this just doesn't happen these days. And the guy who's emailed in, Steve Winter his name is.
Hello Steve.
It's a really impassioned email actually, it goes on like for almost a page. Saying, you know, it wasn't for Taylor and Given, we'd have got beat, we offered nothing in attack, you know, away from home, it's boys, men against boys, Derby away, Wigan away, Sunderland away, you know, this mentality is flooding St James's Park, if we're not careful we could be involved in the relegation battle, you know. And then he says at the end, what are your thoughts on the Jim Royal of management?
I like that.
I think a lot of, at Newcastle, a lot of, like, the current generation, the fans our age, were you know, big fans when Keegan's Newcastle missed out when they had that 12-point league, and I think they still haven't recovered. Mm. I think they're still, a lot of their fan base has come up thinking Newcastle were a big club, not in a sort of deluded way, because at the time they came close to winning leagues, they were in Europe all the time, they were doing well, they were a genuinely big side, and now they've slipped down to what they have been for a lot of the time, and it's had a damaging effect that has stayed within the club since, and they've still not got over that.
But if you look at the facts and figures, is they sell out their stadium every week without a shadow of a doubt. They've got a massive stadium, they've got massive support. They are a big club, you know, and like you say, it wasn't that long ago that they were challenging for the title, albeit for perhaps sort of 1.5 seasons, if you like.
It's just a culture of mediocrity there, though. There seems to be a culture of mediocrity that everyone thought would be dispelled when Allardyce took over. Mm. Sort of, you know, players get an easy ride. I think the players definitely got an easy ride with Bobby Robson there.
Yeah.
I think that Graham Souness, you know, wasn't suited to the club.
Souness is never going
to
win.
Souness was an insane choice, wasn't he? It was basically just trying to sort of give them a bit of kick up the arse, especially the bad boys there.
They're not going to be happy. Soul. No one that club's going to be happy.
Joey Barton.
Exactly. That was Allardyce, wasn't it? He spent a lot of money on him as well. Best part of $6 million, I think. But I don't think anyone at that club will be happy until Alan Shearer's manager.
Charlie Nicholas said that recently.
They won't be, will they?
Yeah. I've seen a lot of Newcastle fans saying that that's insane. Because there's no reason to say that it'll do well. I know they say that, you know, you need to support Newcastle to really understand what it means to the fans there. But I think that's going to be...
But it is insane up there. It's insane up there. It's like everything in the whole city, it revolves around the football club.
Mm.
It's like, well, I can't remember who said it. One of the players there, Premiership player, played at a couple of our big clubs in the Premier League. So you can handle it, Newcastle. It's ridiculous. It's like living in a golfer's club.
Genius.
Jermaine Genius, there you go, yeah. It's unbelievable. He said you can't go anywhere, you can't move. It's, you know, it's weird. The whole city revolves around the club. So unless you're really from Newcastle, I don't think you can really understand.
It's not like that at Wigan, is it?
I think that all they want is just they want a Geordie. That's why I loved it when Robson was there.
Yeah.
That's why I loved it when Keegan was there.
But do you think that's what's holding the club back? Is that this level of expectation?
Probably, yeah. But
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely, isn't it?
Well, maybe that'll change. Now they got Mike Ashley in charge. I don't know, but it's not. It's been a bit messy in terms of Allardyce got the job, then Mike Ashley came in shortly afterwards and said, actually,
I
wouldn't have hired him.
Yeah. So, he's the wrong man for the job, though. I mean, even looking at it before that, it's the styles are too contrasting. If Allardyce was going to come in and try and play this different brand of football, then fair enough. There's nothing to say he would have been able to do that, but he's using sort of like Bolton bruiser style tactics with a kind of flair team to a degree.
Yeah.
I think they've
got the players to be a top eight.
But what you were saying with regards to what is the expectation high, is that hindering the team? I don't think they're demanding he wins the league. I think they're demanding that they don't play like a blooming pub team.
Well, exactly. I think that's what I mean. That's why
it should be top eight. It should be a top eight side.
Of course, there should be. Yeah,
the first 11 is decent.
Well, we're talking about people leaving. Do you think Benitez will leave?
he thinks he will.
We might have a choice.
Yeah,
I believe there's a board meeting this week.
Isn't there one every week?
Probably
every day.
There's a high profile, I think it's scheduled anyway, in New York.
But did you see that,
what? I know. Yeah, I don't know what's in New York, but
did you see...
We're getting a bit homesick.
Yeah.
When all this, whole Benitez thing came out about him, only managing the side, because there was this, apparently the Gillette and Hicks had said, oh, you pick the side and we deal with all the finances. Did you notice that as soon as all this came out, he started wearing a tracksuit instead of a suit?
Yeah.
It's weird, and he goes, I only pick the team. And
he's quite a stubborn man.
Yeah.
Do you remember that press conference where he only answered the same...
Exactly, I pick the team, yeah, and I'm very happy to select him.
I think that... I don't know. Lots been made of the Luton game on Sunday. I think that... That's just a good FA Cup game. That's not the first time.
No.
Even that day or that weekend that the Premiership team was
Oldham.
Exactly.
Great result.
It's just the nature of the FA Cup, isn't it? Liverpool had a lot of chances. I know they've been, I think
Liverpool take them back to Anfield and beat them.
Probably will, yeah. It's just another game, isn't it? That's the thing.
Exactly. And of course the winners will play Swansea or
go on the Hawks.
Havant and Waterlooville.
Go on the Hawks.
And who scored for Havant and Waterlooville away to Swansea?
Rocky Baptiste.
Now, Rocky Baptiste, he's got a bit of pedigree in the FA Cup. I was at the game at Highbury when Farnborough lost 5-1 to Arsenal, and he scored the goal. Yeah. And I found, after celebrating that goal, I found myself three rows down from where I was sitting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a brilliant day.
That's what you want, isn't it? A goal. That's what you asked for, really.
But it was kind of like, it was such a great day that everyone in Farnborough was there. Like, you could just, like, the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker, everybody was there.
Yeah.
And,
I've got a candlestick maker.
Yeah, when was that shot? Yeah.
Do you not go there?
Is this an 1844? Is that when the game took place?
Was that next to belly buses?
Yeah.
Sorry, I meant the guy in the video shop. Anyway. And, it was like, I think it was 3-0, 4-0 at the time, and everyone's going, this is amazing, but we got a score. And Baptiste scored, and it was as if it was like the golden goal in the Champions League final.
But that's what the cup's about, isn't it?
Yeah, of course,
stories
it is,
like that.
But, Havant is my neck of the woods. So I got a good friend of mine played for Havant up to about two seasons ago.
Oh, right.
Yeah, a lot of affinity with him.
Do you think the magic of the cup is still there? Because a lot of people say it's lost a lot of appeal.
Not called into
Dave Kitson,
yeah.
And I think you had a lot to say on that, didn't you, Rio?
You don't go into a game thinking, I can't wait to get this over with so I can go out tonight, unless you're like playing Tottenham.
Well, talking of which, John Sheridan, the Oldham boss, said to his players after they beat Everton, he literally turned around and said to them, lads, have a night on the town, do what you want.
Old
have
school.
£75 win bonus per man.
Is that right?
Yeah, £75. Did you see in the Stoke Newcastle game, the fella who came on called John Parkin?
No.
Oh, it's brilliant, right? I'm not having a pop at him, because he's quite a good player when he come on, but he's fat and he's got a massive beard. And he looked like and, even Jonathan Pearce was ripping it out of him. I promise you, he's going like, and the ball goes out to Saliba on the wing, and Parkin's making it a run into the box. He'll get there this week. Honestly, he was saying that, like. But he's quite tall as well, so he's really good in the air. He almost turned the game, had a few chances. 26, 27.
Really? I can't imagine him puffing on a fag as he runs down the wall.
I looked him up after the game, so I thought, that's quality, because he looked like a bit of a porker.
Oh, yeah.
But he had a nice first touch. He was, he's busy up front. He's a bit of a lower league journeyman. Played for Macclesfield, played for a couple of other clubs, and now he's just ended up at Stoke. So he's obviously doing well, because they're fourth in the Championship. But he doesn't look like... what happened was, he was at another club at Macclesfield, and he went on loan somewhere else. And apparently, he's not unsurprisingly, his training is terrible. But Stokes took him on, Pulis took him on. And he looks alright, this is quite a good player. But it's just funny to see a real old school style 70s football on FA Cup third round.
It's good. That's what the FA Cup is all about. Old school 70s bids.
He came on with about 20 minutes to go, and at the final whistle, he looked absolutely fucked. He looked like the most knackered player on the whole pitch.
Well, you're definitely our version of him.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah.
It's not really a big beard, it looks
busy up front. I trimmed it, actually.
Really?
I trimmed it over Christmas. Yeah. It's grade two, that is, now. All over. Clippers.
So, yeah, people talk about the magic of the cup being diluted, because the same it's four teams have won it. It's like the last 15 seasons.
Since 1995.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that right?
The current top four have won it.
Fair enough, and you can't argue with that, but it is good to see... I know when, for example, Millwall play Man U in the final, they're always going to beat
West Ham. Went close, didn't they?
Exactly, but that was a great final. But, it is good to see a team like Millwall to get to the FA Cup final.
Definitely.
Only a few years ago.
I think if West Ham had won that game, which they were seconds away from doing, the FA Cup would have... That magic could have been back a bit more. I think it's going to take a team outside the top four to win it, to sort of really reignite it. And we were saying this the other day, a lot of people point to Man United when they pulled out of it, kind of undermining it. But I don't think it's that. I think it's when teams stop doing FA Cup final songs.
Yeah.
That status quo business that Man United did.
That's
or the Anfield rap.
Yeah.
That is the problem.
Did you see Question of Sport?
It's literally entirely that.
Yeah. On Question of Sport, Johnny Barnes was on it. and they got him to do it. He did the old...
talks like he's rapping, raps like he's talking. What's that about?
He did the old World Cup 90 song. He started doing it.
He's got to
hold and give.
Yeah.
What?
No, it's not, is it? pass and move.
No, it's you've got to hold and give, but do it at the right time.
You can be slow or fast, or you must get to the line.
Hit you and hurt you.
Anyway, it was funny.
But the best thing about the Anfield, you can't imagine players doing... something like the Anfield rap these
Liverpool
days.
FC is hard as hell.
We rap quite a lot in our changing room, but you're in here and none of that. Actually, didn't DDH Drogba sort of bottle some charity thing a little while ago where he's meant to be singing?
No, him and Michael Essien.
Yeah, but they collaborated on a track. But they didn't do it because Mourinho left, and they said unforeseen work situation, which the whole country knew what that was. Why would you bother to disguise that?
Surely anybody on the street, anybody on the street could have pointed that out to them. What it is this.
Yeah.
Oh right.
I didn't know anything about it. What was it for?
Some charity thing.
All right.
No, it obviously didn't surface.
I've seen that. I've seen that footage on YouTube of Crouch. Doing Here Comes the Hot Stepper.
In that club. Yeah.
It's like he's on the in Spain or something, and he's karaoke in the Here Comes the Hot Stepper. It's really weird.
Is he dancing around Lee Hughes going, murder?
After a while, he cups a needle and walks off, but because everyone's filming him, giving him loads of banter.
Have you seen Chris Kamara singing Brown Eyed Girl?
Is it good?
Oh, it's quite.
That's amazing.
He's like some holiday camp or something.
Yeah.
It's quality. He's got a good voice.
Is that one of Shearer in his car as well, singing U2 to his daughter? Yeah. While he's driving, not looking at the road.
Yeah.
That's very disgraceful.
Football, it's a shame, really. Well, part of it's not a shame because obviously we get to see it, but then it's a shame for footballers because if they want to do karaoke and all the rest of it, I feel the camera phone.
Yeah, because the internet has some stuff.
Exactly. They can't do it. They're not free to spread their wings in the karaoke and all that kind of stuff. And that's really. What it's all about.
Next.
Keeping with the FA Cup, slightly, Fabio Capello watched his first FA Cup match, and I believe first match in England.
He looked like he had a ball as well.
Was that his first match?
I think he must have been, it was his first match as England manager.
Yeah, yes. Villa Man U. He loved it, didn't he?
He was loving it, yeah.
He was absolutely loving it. And can I just reiterate, he's got a great Barnet.
Yeah, a real Italian Barnet.
And it's...
I'll get him on the cornrows soon, don't you worry.
But he has to dye it, doesn't he? 61.
Oh, yeah. But he's a fine-looking man.
But he doesn't look as though if you look at someone like Tom Jones...
You won't find me casting the aspersions on that man's character. Powerful man.
Are you still hoping for a call after that?
Yeah, well, there is that.
It does make you wonder that three or 4 years the press will have turned on him because he's such a respected man. He's such a...
Apparently doesn't care,
such
does
high
he?
Esteem. He says that now.
He'll get one of
he's getting barucked every day.
Yeah.
And,
I think he said some, like... He's got some choice comebacks for journalists and press conferences and stuff. Right. I can't remember any off the top of my head.
Has he already written them?
He already comes up with them.
Class. Mm. This could be a very entertaining England.
The best comeback I ever heard him reported to have said was to Paolo Di Canio. Do you know what he said to him?
No.
Paolo Di Canio said...
What's Paolo Di Canio a journalist?
Paolo Di Canio got... No, I was just saying the best comeback I've heard of. I think he had Paolo Di Canio at...
Is it AC Milan?
Milan, yeah. And there was a pre-season friendly.
Mm.
And Di Canio was playing... Capello was playing three up front. And at half time, he dragged Di Canio off in the change room and said, "Oh, you're coming off." And Di Canio obviously went mental. And apparently, Fabio Capello turned around to him and said, "You've got the head of a penis." He actually said that. Capello said to Di Canio, "Di Canio never played for AC Milan again."
Quality.
Yeah, he fucking loves it, old Capello, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He had a massive pop at Ronaldo as well, didn't he?
Did he?
Did he say he was fat, something to him being fat or something?
Apparently, after a game at Real, in front of all the other players, he said, "Aren't you ashamed to be so fat?"
Yeah.
Really?
He's supposed to be an athlete, all this sort of stuff. And Ronaldo never played for Real Madrid after that.
No, he never did. Yeah. He of course he left. A mate of mine, his father's Italian, and he often goes out to Italy, and they just love to argue. Mm. That's all they do. He said, literally, it's like...
And smoke.
Yeah. It's like they're sitting around the table, pass the salt, and it'll just bang! Yeah. It'll all kick off, but they don't see it as an argument. It's just like a heated discussion.
I saw a great clip of...
But he's not going to get any joy out of the England players. He's gonna have it, and they'll just be like...
Blank looks, yeah.
What?
I saw... a clip on Newsnight of there was a taxi driver strike in Rome, and it was they knew it was going to happen, it was scheduled, and the news 19 followed it, and so they went with this taxi driver, like 6 in the morning, break of dawn. Taxi driver gets up, gets in his taxi, drives with like thousands of other taxis right into the city centre of Rome. Just all get out of their cars, don't even bother parking, and just sit there. It's like I've stopped playing cards all fucking day. Just blocked, completely roadblocked the whole of Rome because they were protesting. No one could go anywhere, no one could move.
That's quality. That's our little Italy roundup, isn't
it?
Yeah. I saw a comment in The Guardian, someone saying that Capello shouldn't bother learning English, should get all the English
players. To learn Italian?
Yeah, exactly.
Their
culture.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
It does bring up like a question of like English players opening up their minds to
us. Bellissimo, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Sepp Blatter, the wisdom that is.
Sorry, can I just interrupt you to say that he's an idiot?
Can we just say the weekly stupid quote by Sepp Blatter?
He said
to
he
get
was shocked.
Stupid views in the paper.
He's ridiculous.
By Sepp the Buffet Blatter.
Yeah, Sepp Fatter.
Yeah.
Good. He said he was shocked that England got Capello in, you know, and he said that England...
I'm shocked he's still in the job. Oh no, he's a corrupt cunt.
Hang on, after weeks of speculation about Fabio Capello taking the job, he was shocked.
He said England had broken a principle of international football and none of the other nations had managers. Can I just point out, though,
that
if you want to hear about FIFA corruption and all the rest of it, Andrew Jennings has written a book called Foul, The Secret World of FIFA, Bribes, right. Vote Rigging and Ticket Scandals, and that is my book of the week.
It's a Trinidadian
guy. Hang on, who's that published by?
There's a bloke,
otherwise known as the Real Madrid manager,
Trinidad and Tobago
Jack
representative.
Warner. Yeah, Jack Warner,
that guy
bloke.
Is a corrupt,
shocking bloke.
You've never known anything like it. Some of the stuff that
he's
apparently
awful.
He's been.
He's awful at living.
Yeah, we're not allowed to say that, are we?
I also think he's backed by rather. Like heavies,
probably
rather heavies.
They don't know that we.
There's no one heavier than me. I'll tell you that.
Luke, I believe we've had some emails.
Yeah, we have. We've had quite a few, actually, this week. Must be the people getting in the festive spirit after the Christmas special, in which Chrissy Apple's turned into a bit of a cult hero.
Really?
With his outrageous insight into his psyche, which was, I was quite hot, but now I'm all right. Everyone wants to hear your highlight of the week, Chris, this week.
My highlight of the week this year? Well,
this week.
Well, it's this year so far.
I suppose it is, yeah. What's been floating your boat so far this year, mate?
Well, basically...
What's been great in 08?
Basically, because of the new year, the council changed the times of the rubbish collection. So now it's coming on a Tuesday. Instead of a Wednesday.
Brilliant.
So yeah.
There you go.
It's an extra day's cleanliness.
That is gold. Well, you know, some people get all the luck, don't they?
Platinum.
Yeah.
One more could say.
Moving swiftly on. So I'll just go through them and then we can just talk about them, shall we? Is that what we normally do? I think that's what we normally do, isn't it?
What else would we do?
Neil's emailed in saying, I think you need to have a mid-season review of your touts for signing of the season. Do you remember that at the beginning of the season we said?
I'm happy with mine.
I think someone said Voronin. Yeah, I don't know who that was. But also Santa Cruz and Eduardo. Well, I think Santa Cruz has been brilliant.
No one said Santa Cruz, though. But he has been. I said Eduardo.
No, Santa Cruz is one of the main crushes we
Yeah, Santa Cruz has had a good season.
Didn't he get 5 goals in the week or something?
He did,
amazing.
Yeah.
2 games, I think, yeah.
And
yeah.
They lost, didn't they? I think they lost all of those games.
No, they drew 3 all against Wigan.
And they drew against Man City.
No, they lost to Wigan.
They lost 5-3 and they drew 2 all with City.
Santa Cruz got a hat-trick, didn't
they? I said Eduardo, and I'm.
He's doing alright, yeah. I said Voronin.
I think Eduardo's just about taking off.
Apple said Maluda.
He's been injured, to be fair.
What's happened to him?
And he's not having a good time.
But Voronin, I think Voronin's better than Dirk Coit. He just doesn't get picked.
I think Eduardo's better than Adebayor.
And he also says, with 2 open goal misses at the weekend from Utaka and Robbie Keane. I saw the Utaka one, that was shocking. I would be interested to know your favourite easy sitter misses. Mine being Vieri in the 2002 World Cup. I remember that one. Yeah, South Korea.
That's got to be Ronnie Rosenthal.
Do you remember Carney's one for West Brom a couple of years ago?
Oh, yeah.
That was about two yards out.
That was harder to miss it than it was to score because he got it over the bar from on the ground.
It really was.
From like a yard out. Yeah. We didn't actually reevaluate our.
Didn't Giggs do one?
Yeah, Giggs did one.
Against Arsenal.
Put it over the bar, open goal.
And also. You, didn't you? You missed a couple.
Oh, yeah.
You missed 2
last I missed
week.
2 open goals on Friday, yeah.
Now, none of us were playing. You voluntarily told us that, which is good sports.
I missed 2 open goals.
Is this back in New Zealand?
No. Yeah. It's down the road.
Were the scouts from Te Atatu there watching?
In New Zealand, you had to hit the ball over the bar to score.
Yeah. Anyway,
can I just say, I think Bakary Sagna deserves some credit as one of these sort of unexpected, really good.
Surprisingly, he's talented Arsenal player,
yeah,
isn't
he? Surprising.
I kind of agree. Actually,
a very,
kind of
very
agree.
Good player. He's just slotted in like he's always been there. And we all said, I think we all agreed before that Torres has got to be the signing of the season so far. Been amazing.
I'll tell you, he's been the worst signing of the season, or one of. Younes
Kabul. Campbell.
Younes Kabul.
No.
Younes Kabul is an awful player.
Henri Camara.
Boomsong. Yeah. Boomsong all over, isn't it? Kabul.
Yeah, but Henri Camara, everyone knows he's rubbish. Yeah. Younes Kabul came as, wasn't he French player of the year?
About £8 million. Yeah. Yeah. Pascal Seguin was French player of the year, though, wasn't he, when he came to Arsenal?
Seguin wasn't as terrible, though, as I mean, Kabul's.
I don't know, mate. There was a chant at Arsenal, which was, he's bald, he's shit, he plays when no one's fit. Pascal Seguin.
That's good, that is.
Yeah,
scored
two
goals, though, one game once.
Yeah. He also equalised for Panathinaikos in a crucial Champions League game.
This one from Charlie. Hey there, Ramble Boys. I was wondering what you think of Pro Evolution Soccer 2008.
I bought that the other day, and it's really hard. I'm still in
the phase
where
I've
not really played
it. I prefer the old one, if I'm honest.
Well, he goes on to say, I personally think the crouch is better on the game than in real life. I know you're not called the football game Ramble, but I'd be interested to hear what you think. I've played quite a lot of it, actually. I really like it. It's brilliant.
And I'd just like to say to Charlie that crouch did spare Liverpool's blushes.
Crouch is a good player.
Yeah. He's a good player.
They'd have lost 1-0 otherwise.
Anyone who thinks he's not a good player is a real lazy football fan. It's easy to pick on him. He's a good player. He always
good touch for a big man.
Yes, exactly.
He's got good feet as well. I know that links him with the touch, but he's sort of quite skillful.
That gives the impression that it's all right for big players to just be useless.
Yeah.
Stupid, isn't it?
Viduka's another one.
Well, he's more of a fat player, isn't he? It's kind of different.
He's quite tall, though. But 6'3".
I'm tall and I've got a great touch. Right, so yeah, we like it. Lou says, why do you think Sven has adopted such an attacking and free-flowing style of football at City after his negative and cautious approach of England?
Because he can sign players that aren't English.
Do you think this is a comment on the knack of technique and ability of English players? I don't think he has played.
No, he hasn't. This is a myth.
No, if you look at the Liverpool game...
James into the mic.
Where are they? If you look at the Liverpool game...
That's your shoe.
Into the mic. that was a very, very defensive display. They sort of, after about 70 minutes, they just decided to go for the 0-0, just absolutely shut Liverpool out.
Petrov, I think, has been superb.
I'd say Petrov
and Ilarno.
One of the best attacking players.
Ilarno scored again, didn't he?
I mean, Petrov, he's straight down the line and gets it in every time. It's fantastic, but I mean,
old-fashioned winger.
Very much so. But, again, I think this free-flowing attack and so on, it isn't quite... I mean, how many 1-0 wins have they had at home?
Yeah.
You know, and I think...
Not taking anything away from them, because they're not doing really well. But
they've done brilliantly considering like they'd never met each other before the season, like the majority of the first team.
But also before...
Or the fact that Sven hadn't seen them or something, that was reported.
They're not Brazil 1970, is what we're saying. They're not dominating games over large periods and having 30 shots on goal and easily winning. They're grinding out results, which, you know...
And that's what a team like City need to do, because before he took over, they needed to be organised, and Sven's organised them. But he has brought in just a little bit of flair as well, with Petrov and Ilarno and something. And I think that sums it up.
Ilarno was even more of a good signing, that he was sort of rotting in the reserves at someone like Shakhtar Donetsk.
Apparently a lot of the players at Shakhtar have said that they never knew he was that kind of player. They're really surprised.
Shakhtar
got really
loads
of
money and they signed loads of players, didn't they? They signed him for a lot of money.
They're a very rich club, Shakhtar.
He was a lot of money. Anyway, but that's from Lou. I hope he answered your question. He said that we never read out his email, so I'll read that.
Sorry, Lou.
Give him a mention.
It's Luke's fault.
Probably my fault, because I look after the email, and I'm the most ill-prepared, so it's probably my fault. Yeah, another email from... This is quite a good one, actually, from Rob. He says... The title of the email is Greetings from Asia.
Whereabouts in Asia, is he?
Hello. Oh, I'll tell you. Hello. I just listened to your latest podcast from my cosy internet cafe armchair in Thailand. So your show is now a truly international affair.
Top man.
I've even attached a picture of me listening to the show to this email. You can tell I'm in Thailand from the weird painting of some sort of two-headed goddess on the wall behind me. They're massive fans of the Premiership of Southeast Asia. I met a motorbike taxi driver in Vietnam whose only English words were hello, England, Liverpool and Sammy Hippier.
That's cool.
That is brilliant.
Keep up the good work and say hi to Rio for me.
All right,
yeah. Yeah, there you go.
That's cool, that is.
Yeah, cheers, Rob. It's always nice to...
thanks, Rob.
To get an international email, you know?
Yeah.
Take it he is English, obviously. Another one from Oliver. I was listening to the Ramble over the holidays, top jokes, particularly like Steve McLaren time travelling in Rio Ferdinand.
Oh, thank you. I'm starting to think I should be anchoring this market here.
I beg your pardon.
You will beg my pardon soon, my friend.
Yeah, leave it, yeah? leave it.
Now, we've spoken about this. This is only going to last so long, Marcus, you know that, yeah?
Shut up, Rio.
Oh, man, you was getting beets and merkins later.
Rio, leave it. It's not worth it. And he says, picture me grinning like an idiot walking down the street getting funny looks. I'll take it, it's because you're laughing at us. Hopefully with us.
Yeah.
That's
are
it.
We with him in the photo? Is he superimposed us on?
Hello, Football Ramble. I'm your friend.
Yeah, so good emails this week. Always nice to hear from you all and stuff, so footballramble@hotmail.com, and is it podcast@footballramble.com?
The new email address is podcast@footballramble.com, yeah.
But either of them work, and obviously you can get us through Facebook and stuff like that. Yeah, our Facebook group's reasonably active these days, and not having a, you know, not boasting or anything, but just
you are boasting, yeah.
Yeah. And basically, yeah, so we were talking, there's a bit of a shout from someone, I forget who it was, saying, who's the footballer with the best name? Okay, and there's a few that went around, Jermaine McSporran, Danny Invincible, that sort of stuff. And then Taylor, who's, he's reasonably active on there, and he loves a banter, actually, to be fair to him, came up with a first 11 of, like, players with funny names, and they're all genuine.
And the current players, are they?
I think so, but they're all genuine footballers' names. I'll read them out, and you can just say what
formation has he gone for.
He's gone for the 2-6-2.
Good.
Yeah, the bun.
Pack that midfield.
Yeah, the bundles of midfielders. They'll be hard to break down midfield. This side, I tell you. He said,
ball, surely.
He said, note my controversial 2-6-2 formation, also known as the hexagon.
Oh, like it.
It's a modern take on the diamond formation. So the 11 is this. The team name is Deportivo Wanko. You'll know it's a famous favourite yours.
The Peruvian National League.
In goal, we've got Norman Conquest. Playing two at the back. Two defenders.
Both of them.
Yeah. Surprise Mariri.
Good. That's brilliant.
He plays for the Mamelodi Sundowns in South Africa.
Do you reckon he says that as he tackles players? What? Surprise!
Surprise! you just got surprised. And his centre-back partner is a Have a Look Dube. Have a Look Dube.
Even better.
Plays for the Njubi Sundowns in Zimbabwe.
Well, he goes, have a look. Could the striker's confused, and then Surprise comes in and slams the ball.
So what I think he's done here, Tay, to be fair to him? I think he's got about 7 or 8 of these names, and he's thought, right, I want to make a side, so I'll make a few up.
Yeah.
Because in the midfield, we've got Limited Chikuffa. Right. Danger 4 pence. Harry Daft. Stephen Sunny Sunday. Credence Clearwater Kuto.
No, I'm not having that.
I'm not having that at all.
I can't read that again.
Read the last one.
Credence Clearwater Kuto.
No, yeah, he's Brazilian, I think. He plays in Belgium.
He plays in Holland, apparently.
Oh, Holland, yeah.
Dan, you know this, yet you've accused him of making it up.
No, he's a real player.
It's
a real player. Credence Clearwater Kuto.
Danny Invincible.
Do you think he's going to
make up the midfield? And up front, we've got Bongo Christ, who plays for the Congo.
Yeah,
and Johnny Moustache.
Johnny Moustache in Seychelles, yeah. Great.
Could he not have put...
He's put a couple of subs in as well.
On the subs, it's Shoes Mashu and Jesus Junior.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Son of Christ.
That is good. Could he have not have put Peter Shirtliff in? Because I do like
Peter
that one.
Peter Shirtliff's a great name.
I really like the Portuguese goalkeeper, Quim, as well.
Yeah, that's brilliant. He was in the Euro 2004 squad.
He was, yeah.
Anyway.
That's class, that is.
Bit of banter, isn't it?
Thanks for
it.
Who was that? Taylor.
Taylor, yeah.
Thanks for that, Taylor. That was brilliant.
Enjoyed that.
Absolutely.
What's your favourite, Marcus, you reckon?
What, from the list?
Yeah.
That's got to be Credence.
Credence.
I think mine's the central defensive pairing.
Oh, there we go.
Have a look
and surprise.
But the thing is, the weird thing about have a look is, like, you know, a lot of those names are like
words.
Yeah, but they're like emotions, aren't they? Like, which is like an African. A lot of Africans are like that.
I can see surprise.
Have a look. I mean,
how the hell is that name? It's like a sentence.
Yeah,
name.
Exactly.
It's hyphenated as well.
Yeah.
It's hyphenated
with a capital letter in the middle.
Yeah, weird.
Brilliant.
If Eagle Eye Cherry was a footballer, he'd be in there as well.
That's his real name.
No, it is, yeah. Well, that's, I'm just going on the, yeah, like you say, the...
Isn't there a guy who plays for Brighton, and he's named after, like, 11 names, he's named after a whole team.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's weird, he's just known as, like, Tony someone.
Well, we used to know...
Is it number one, Perry Groves, number two, Perry Groves?
We used to know a fella at our uni called Tiggy Rainbow, didn't we?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Tiggy Rainbow.
Yeah.
Weird.
And he was a spitting image of Gary McAllister.
Yeah, he wasn't even gay. The name like Tiggy Rainbow, you think he would be, but yeah, he wasn't, apparently.
Over the Christmas period, Dennis Wise popped into the footballing stories, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Not just
yeah.
that on the news, I think it might have been as well.
It was basically early New Year's Day. It was at 1 AM in the morning, driving home, and some kids had started throwing rocks at cars, and basically got out.
And his was one of them.
Yeah, basically he got out, and according to reports,
He caught a 13-year-old and tried to administer a citizen's arrest.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
It's probably happened to him so many times.
Do you reckon he said, citizen's arrest, citizen's arrest?
He knows the drill.
He sort of did the whole, you have the right to remain
yeah, I hope so, yeah.
Sort of speech.
But there's a great comment by, it was the Ledge, give the Ledge credit. He said, why doesn't the kid pick on someone his own son? So, but basically, yeah, and the kid went home and said, I've just been done by Denny's wife. Yeah. And he's been reported to the police. And but both Wires and the kids have been questioned by West Yorkshire Police.
Good old Wires, yeah.
Yeah, mm. Wires back in the news.
Such a contradiction, his name, Dennis Wires.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should be Dennis Cunt, really, What? We can put that in, can't we? We had that. We had that in there. Yeah. I'll bend the rules, don't break them.
In last week's installation of Steve McLaren, Time Lord, the ginger-headed numpty himself, Frank Lampard Jr. and Danny Dyer travel back to 1966 and successfully convince England's World Cup winning squad to travel to 207 and help him get England to Euro 208. This is what went down.
Okay, boys. With the experience of the World Cup winning squad to call, there's no way we'll lose. I warn you now that there's going to be some changes, but I have to pick the best side available. Frank, you'll be in the middle with Stevie G.
Yes, me and Stevie G always play well together.
David, I know your shin splints are giving you jip, but you'll be on the right in the second half.
Whoa, whoa, fucking whoa! You've got the greatest team in England's history at your disposal. You can't keep playing this shower of brill cream. They're a set of cunts.
Oh, don't be sad, Wayne. I want to be jelly babies.
They're all here to be consulted, Danny. What could be better for us than 11 directors of football? They're going to come down from the corporate hospitality at half-time to say a few words of encouragement and bring some prawn sandwiches for Frank.
It's too late by then. You know what happens. His lot's so stupid, they haven't even questioned why there's two Steve McLaren's here. One of them claiming to be a time traveller. Joe Coe ain't going to win Master Brain, and we already know that they ain't going to win this, so put the old fellas on. There's not a Spurs boy amongst them.
Oh, think about it. We've all seen that Carlsberg advert. They might have won it, but they're no match for Croatia.
I'll tell you what this is. This is unbelievable. I've got a tool here and I'm going to open you all up before you get on that pitch if I fucking have to.
Rooney!
Ah, fuck me!
Rooney do good? Yes, Wayne, Rooney do good. Rooney do very good.
Right at about this point, England's hopes of qualificating were balancing by a thread. Stephen Gerrard was thinking that, in his own words.
The Croatia game will take care of itself. It's all gravy, yeah?
Frank Lampard Jr. was looking ahead to those prawn sandwiches and I was in the stands playing poker with Wayne Rooney and Michael Owen and screwing because I was suspended. Actually, Wayne Rooney still owes me £3 million.
Cranker! Oh, Carson spilled it! Oh, it's 1-0 to Croatia! Oh, it's 2-0! Oh, and England look like a schoolboy pub team! Defoe with a brilliant dive penalty to England! Lampard, 2-1! David Beckham seems to have some trouble with his shins, but he's got a good ball in the crouch. 2-2, and England are right back in there. How about that? Petrich from distance. Oh, fuck. 3-2 to Croatia. For fuck's sake, every fucking time. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it, Loro.
Oh, they'll be fine, John. John?
The atmosphere in the dressing room afterwards was unbearable. You could hear a brick drop.
Lads, apart from Wayne Bridge, you did your best, and I can't ask any more. Except that you bloody win, or even draw, you could have drawn.
My client, he says, my name is Fabio Capello. I am your boss now. You will respect me and I will decide if I respect you. Training starts immediately. You will do a lap of shame on your tongues and I will be marking your repentance with my sniper rifle.
Cannelloni, mozzarella, pavarotti, bellissimo. Vespa.
My client, he says that your services are no longer required and he will be taking charge of the team from now on.
Says who?
Says the holes in your face.
Pizzeria, bella bella, only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. Mario, go Lazio!
Fabio made it abundantly clear that if we slacked off, we'd be waking up with Peter Crouch's head next to us. With that in mind, I retired from international football and spent the spare time murking sick kids for charity. England went on to win the World Cup in 2010 under Fabio Capello, except they didn't, because they ain't good enough, and deep down we all know it. This is the last episode of Steve McLaren, Time Lord. Tune in next week.
Do you think Mr. Fabio would let me shout my name at the fans?
Oh, shut up, bro.
Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen, for episode 16 of Football Ramble. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all those who emailed in with comments. And remember, the email address is footballramble@hotmail.com or podcast@footballramble.com. Yep. Got on the Facebook group.
Also, when are you going to get on Facebook? Everyone's
yeah,
asking.
Get on Facebook, yeah?
Everyone's asking for you.
Yeah, there'll be Facebook. A time. There'll be a time.
Want to start a group. Yeah. Mm.
Why are you reluctant?
Yeah.
It's not what I'm about.
Fair enough.
I'm gonna poke you to death, Rio.
Shut up, Rio. I'm trying to wrap up the show. This is my new little thing. So thanks very much for listening. We're all off to make a citizen's arrest in Venice Wise. Cheers.